This is the hardest part of preaching. Nobody ever teaches you this in Bible school. It's getting this done. But when I was born, which was many moons ago, I just turned 80 in October. So I've been around for a while, and I was born in Pittsburgh. And my parents... yes, that's right. Pittsburgh is a good place. And so I was born at a time, my parents were a little older, and so they had a son who was between three and four when I was born. And so it just so happened that I was born at a time when they discovered problems in my brother. And so he had just started to get into epileptic seizures. Well, he later died when he was 7. And then at that time I was 4. So there was about 3 years difference in our ages. But because of that, you know, my mother took to watching over my brother. And there really was nobody to watch over me. So as I grew up, I just took care of myself. And I went all over our neighborhood. I mean, people were always finding me, and they found me and they asked me where I was going. I said, I'm going to buy some money. And then somebody found me in the furnace. And so I've just always been, I guess you'd call it, free spirit because of that. So I was that way the first 4 years of my life. Just out, my mother had to take care of my brother, so there was nobody really to watch over me. And then after that, I understand from a friend that she had a mental breakdown after my brother died. So then there was a period of years. So we're talking about till I was 10 or 11. Well, by then it's too late, you know. So that's why being on the road, everybody gets really awestruck because I've been on the road 30 some years and I just head on out in my car. And now that I'm 80 there, everybody's trying to get me to stop, but it only makes me want to go more. So it's just certain things in your life that make you who you are. And why you are the way that you are. And the Lord's purpose for me really came out of that background that I was in. That I'm never afraid. Like, I have several friends who are my age that won't go anywhere by themselves. Nowhere. They won't travel anywhere. They won't go to a meeting. They won't go to a conference unless they have people with them. But it's never bothered me. I've taken off to the church. I go to meetings. I go to about 7 or 8 meetings a year. I go by myself. And I just have a good time. But it's never bothered me. But you are who you are. You know, when I'm home, I'm up on the roof. I'm down in the ground. I'm digging around. I'm painting the house. You know, it's just the person I am. And who you are is a lot the way that God made you. So rejoice in who you are and what you're like. And maybe you don't like to go anywhere. But you know, that has its values too. We all are who we are. So when I came here last year, well, it was in the spring, in May. And we sat over in that little building. And I had the beginning of a message. It's called Pinpoint Message. And so I just want to go over it again. I shared it a little bit, you know, with the folks. But I just wanted to go over it just a little bit, and then we're going to watch this movie as we see. And it's your pinpoint. And I thought, after all these 80 years, you know, of being out in ministry, I traveled a million miles And this was after my husband passed away. We were pastoring a church. Just kind of like, you know, Carol and myself, we were left alone in the ministry, but we both have a heart to go on. Now, a lot of the women whose husbands pass away, generally after a couple of years, they don't want to go on. And that's okay. But I wanted to go on and be in the ministry too. And Carol has that same way. And of course, Tom and Dottie also. We just are on fire for God. We want to go on. And so what I want to do right now, after all these years, is I want to, the Lord gave me this message, how to help people. I've been in ministry 40 some years. Well, I mean, you should have learned something after 40 years at a job. So this is what I came up with, and I just preached it up in the Northwest. I was up there in several churches. So I'm going to just go over these points with you. You can take notes. I don't know if you are recording this or not. But the first thing that God told me was to pinpoint your problem. Find out. Locate where you are. Most people make a mistake because they're trying to work on all these areas. You know, like if your house starts to fall apart. But if you take one thing, okay, let's replace the floor in the kitchen and get that done. Then we want to fix something else in the house. But everybody gets do this and do this, and they're doing like 10, 12 things at once. And we do that spiritually with ourselves. But take time and find one thing that you want to change that maybe you're not getting answers on. It could be healing. It could be finances. You're tired of being poor and you want more money. It could be a relationship or relationships in your life. You're just not good in that area, or you have relationships with family or friends. Something's wrong. Or you can have the plans for your life. I don't know what God wants me to do. Everybody else seems to know that I don't know. What am I to do with my life? And God has a plan. He doesn't just say, well, honey, just work it out and we'll figure it out when you get to heaven and see how you did. I've got a plan for you. But we need to know that plan. And there's sometimes addictions, all kinds of addictions in our life. We could be addicted to pleasing people. We could be addicted to, you know, TV. We can be addicted to opioids. I mean, we can be addicted to all kinds of things. And we just, addictions to food. And we have to get rid of those. We want to get rid of them. If you want to live long, you have to be healthy and live right and exercise. So what is it today? It might be something other than all of this. Figure out what it is. And the second thing is look up the scriptures that help you with this. Find the scriptures. Make it an event. If it takes you a month, if it takes you 6 months, it shouldn't take that long. But get yourself a Bible. Look up all the scriptures. Now, I see some scriptures up there I hadn't even really looked at about finances. I thought, I need to get more scriptures on finances for myself. So look them up, put them, write them down in a notebook, and the different translations, you know, you can go to the Walmart and get Amplified and Message and the Living Bible and NLT, that's good, New Living Translation. There's just like five or six you can get right off the shelf in any store. Look them up in the different translations and begin to make a list in this area that you want. If it's healing, if it's finances, if it's your purpose. You know, I'm just bogged down in this no way out job. I'm tired of it, and I know God has better than this for me. He does.
Yes.
So you get these scriptures and you write them all down, whatever it is, and then the big power, the big power play is that you want to say them. You have to speak them. You have to speak the scriptures. Where the power comes in is taking these scriptures and then speaking it out. That's how God created the world. Mm-hmm. You can't just think them. I mean, you do want to meditate on them and go over them. And I'm going to read this to you. This is Matthew 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say to you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this, which is done to the fig tree, but if you say to this mountain, be removed. Now say is the important thing.
Yes.
We live in a very mind-oriented thinking. We're one with the universe. I mean, just forget all that stuff. It's not going to do you any good. Now, you do want to meditate. Like, if you can't talk, but speaking is a way of meditating. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Meditating is talking the word. Be removed, be cast into the sea, and all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. So we see speaking comes into this very much.
Yes.
Finding the scripture, let's look at, I think it's Isaiah 43. If you make note of this, is a beautiful one. The law of Jehovah is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of Jehovah is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of Jehovah are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Jehovah is pure, enlightening the eyes. I mean, I just get excited just reading that. This is just the word. When I first became a Christian, I just fell asleep just clutching my Bible, because I knew that Bible was the answer to everything in my life. All the things that I was discouraged about myself, because my parents actually taught me nothing. They were wonderful people, don't get me wrong. But I don't think their parents taught them anything. So they just, we have a whole generation of people that just let their children do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. Okay, sounds good to me. And children and people need to be taught. My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
What you don't know will kill you. It'll kill you. And in the Word is everything that you need, in the Proverbs, in the Psalms. Just get that Word into your heart and digest it. And once it gets, you see, it has to get from the head. Most people are just mental assenters. Oh, they read it once. Hey, that's great. I heard it at church. You got to go over and over and over and over and over again. To make a difference in your life. It's just like you learned your alphabet, remember?
Yeah.
Or your times table.
Mm-hmm.
The alphabet wasn't too hard. Although now, I have a three-year-old grandson. He does his alphabet now really good. You can't understand all of his letters, but he does really well. But he goes over, they go over and over. He has this puzzle, this alphabet. He has this book, this alphabet. He has another book, this alphabet. So between all of this, he gets A, B, C, D. Then we get into our times table. How many remember the times table? What are you preaching? I'm just showing you how you had to go over and over things. I remember walking to school going 10 times 10, 10 times 9, 10 times 8 is 80, and those are the easy ones.
Mm-hmm.
5 times 6, 6 times 7, now you're getting up in there. But your whole life is going to depend on you knowing that. So you have 6 cans of beans, so you have to know. 6, 6 cans of beans times 70 cents, $4.20. Before you even get it rung up. You use this every day. If people don't know how. Now, I'm a little worried about this generation coming up because they don't know those things. They have to have their computer. If I ask them something, they have to look. I'll stop in the city and say, now, what is the city? Got off track. So, well, I don't know. You don't know where you are. And they get out their phone and try to look and see where they are. I kid you not.
Yeah.
I ordered candles for Christmas last year. Went to the store, and the guy wrote out the label, all lowercase. I said, where are the capitals? He said, the capitals? So what are they teaching you in school? I don't know. They just stand and they just look at you, and they're real scared, you know? Because if they don't have this with them, they're lost. They're totally lost. Mm-hmm. It tells them where they are. Tells them where to go, and it's not on their map. Now, I'm getting that way myself. But. But once you know that word, you go over and over and over, over and over. Get from your heart, with your head, to your heart. You'll see the biggest difference in your life. The addictions will drop. Money will start to come.
Amen.
It's a process. So, I mean, there's other things, but that's all I'm going to share with you today. That's probably all you can take. Find the scripture. Figure out what your hardest point you're dealing with. What is it? Take the time. Pull it out. Okay. I'm just tired of being poor. I don't have any money. I have to have more money. I have to have a better job, or I have to know, quit spending money on things I shouldn't. I need help with money. God wants you to prosper.
Amen.
He doesn't want you to be poor.
Amen.
And some people will tell you that, but they're always rich people that tell you. You don't need any money, but they're always rich people that tell you that. You don't even know what I'm going through. So we're going to watch this movie, and I hope that you like it. At the end, we're going to take time and pray, so don't hurry off. I'd like to pray for each one of you, even if just as a group. It's called The Harvest.